Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Wow, I was afraid to turn around. I didn't know what would happen if I saw a bunch of Presbyterians clapping. Thank you. Looks like we've got some more technical difficulties. We have my mother used to have a word that she used a lot, and it was persnickety. And I think this morning we have a persnickety computer back there. Doesn't want to cooperate with us. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We're continuing in the Gospel of Matthew. Last week we started in the 5th chapter of Matthew with that section known as the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are the beginning of what we have come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. So what we hear this morning are the first teachings of the Sermon on the Mount according to the Gospel of Matthew. So let us listen to these familiar words as if we have never heard them before. And listen for God's word in our lives. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. You are a rebellious people. It's what Isaiah said we need to do. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, shout out, don't hold back. Announce to my people their rebellion. Wow. And then he goes on to say, you act like you're following my ways. You pretend that you are living according to the law. You go to your places of worship and you offer your sacrifices, and you say, but God, we're doing everything right. Why have you abandoned us? He says we serve our own interest, that we quarrel and we fight. That when we do worship, it's all about us. I want to talk about that just a little bit. It's all about us. Even when we say it's all about God, it's all about us. Because why is it all about God? So God will save us. You see, we've created this religious circle that puts us at the center always. Even when we're trying to do the right thing, we're trying to do the right thing so that we don't get punished. We go to church so that we will be righteous, so that we will be doing what we think is the right thing. And Isaiah, along with the other prophets of the Bible, zero in on this. We heard it last week from the prophet Micah. We hear very similar words this week from the prophet Isaiah. What is the fast I choose? God says through Isaiah, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke, to give bread to the hungry, housing to the homeless, clothes to the naked, to stop pointing fingers at each other, to stop quarreling, to satisfy the needs of the afflicted. That's what we're called to do. And Jesus says, I did not come to abolish any of this. Not one letter of it did I come to abolish, but to fulfill. In many ways, Jesus is a prophet of prophets. Jesus comes with the gospel that he has labeled the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, which is identical to the message of the Old Testament prophets, which is to do all of these things that Isaiah says. He is the prophet of prophets. He doesn't come to change things and give us a new way. He comes to focus in on the way we are to be living. And we'll be talking about some of this in this Sermon on the Mount later on, because Jesus basically takes the prophets and the law and he pulls us into them. He doesn't do away with them. If anything, he makes them harder. Because he tells us it's not something that we just have to believe or say or pretend to believe in our rituals. It's the way we are to live. And that's what it means to be salt and light. When we are the salt of the earth, we are living the gospel. When we are the light of the world, we are living the gospel. And what is the gospel? Isaiah tells us what the gospel is. Jesus tells us what the gospel is. It's to take care of the poor, to free the oppressed, to be in right relationship with God and with one another, to be in right relationship with all of creation. This is what we are called to. This is how we are salt of the earth, light to the world. This is a message that includes all of creation, because all of it is God. All of it is the eternal presence of God. But where is our light most of the time? I would suggest that our light most of the time is hidden under a bushel basket. A bushel basket of empty piety, of self-righteous moralism, of a dangerous mixture of religion and nationalism. These are the ways that the light of God is hidden. These are the things that the prophets call us away from. Our salt is trampled beneath distortion and deception and lies. We live in a time where everyone is asking, well, what is the truth anymore? What is the right thing to do anymore? One of the most insidious phrases in our collective conversation these days is, well, that's your opinion. You know, there are at least three types of opinion. A friend of mine shared this week. And I think this is a pretty accurate description. The first type of opinion is what we all have an opinion. We do. I mean, it's like the nose on our face. We all have an opinion. It's ours. And we have it. But this first type of opinion is usually pretty narrow, very self-centered, and strangely overconfident. Too many of us have confused our opinion with the facts. A second type of opinion is a studied opinion, an opinion that we derive from study, an opinion that we gain from observing the world, from studying the evidence around us. It's based on research, it's based on analysis, it's based on knowledge, it's based on education, continually educating ourselves and learning. This is a studied opinion. It carries more weight than just our opinion. And then there's a third opinion. It's a learned opinion. A learned opinion is a studied opinion that has been lived and experienced. And it's usually a pretty hard teacher. Experiences. But we're caught in this trap in our culture where that first opinion is used to stop conversation, to limit conversation from even beginning sometimes. Because as soon as there is a difference, we get, well, that's just your opinion. And my opinion is just as valid as your opinion. And if we're talking about the first kind of opinion, we're absolutely right. But if we're talking about that third kind of opinion, there's a great deal of difference. Because you see, reality, what's really real in this creation of ours, doesn't give a hoot what our opinion is. A good example is the debate that's taking place in our country, in our world right now, which to even call it a debate is absurd. The question of, is there climate change? I don't believe in climate change. Well, you know what? The climate doesn't care what we believe. It was 65 degrees last week in Antarctica. The giant glaciers of the poles are shrinking so fast we can hardly keep up with them. The strange weather patterns that we are having in our world today. All we have to do is open our eyes and see the evidence in front of us. It doesn't matter what we believe. And that's just one example. We can believe that we live in the greatest country in the world. The evidence doesn't show us that. Not if you use the rubric that Isaiah and Micah and Jesus give us. The rubric of caring for the poor, welcoming the stranger, being hospitable to those who need housing and clothing. We can believe anything we want to, but the facts on the ground don't care what we believe. This is what Jesus and the prophets are calling us to. In the reading from Isaiah, it ends on an up note. It says, "You will be a light to the nations. Your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. You will be called repairer of the breach." But there's a great big little word, if. If we start living the gospel, then and only then does our light shine. When we take off that bushel, then and only then is our salt good. We live in times when the words of the prophets and the words of Jesus are very real. We live in times when leaders of our country and other countries are distorting the word of God and using it to lift up ourselves, to be great, when in actuality what the gospel calls us to is humility. And when and if we can ever hear this and live it, we will be living into the kingdom of God, which is right here, right now, if we only have the courage to step forward and follow Jesus and follow Isaiah and follow Micah. Do we? Amen. I hope we were paying attention to the words of that hymn. I hope that we weren't just saying them. I hope that we weren't just singing another closing hymn. I really do hope that. Christ is our light. And the light of Christ points us to the prophets. The light of Christ calls us into living in right relationship with all of creation, with one another. And if we only have the courage to do this, will we truly become the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Amen.